Father Alex and I were speaking yesterday about the scriptures, and in the conversation, he made the comment, the observation, can you imagine the impact that Jesus had upon his disciples? Think about it. They all had jobs when he found them. They all had homes. They had places that they stayed. We're here today because of an impression that he put on them. He didn't turn them into slaves. They were all free. They chose freely, all of them, to follow Jesus without any regard for what was happening to them. It didn't start that way. We know that 3 days before this event, Peter denied Jesus 3 times within earshot of Jesus. And Jesus heard it and looked at him, and Peter knew immediately what he had done. They saw him beaten, crucified. They saw him die. They saw him put the lance through. They saw from a distance because they were running. They didn't want to be there. The only one who stayed at the cross were Mary Magdalene, and the Apostle John. And they weren't ready to accept the resurrection. We know that took a while for them to process that concept, that mystery of the resurrection. And he appeared to them the same day of the resurrection and said, put your hands in my side, your fingers in the holes in my hand. What an impact this would have. If they were so given to follow him as their leader before his crucifixion, and then scattered when they saw him defeated, how much more affected, how much more closely will they follow him now that they are encountering him, eating and drinking and talking and walking with him after his resurrection? What an impact. Now here's Peter, 3 days after he has denied even knowing Jesus. And what we have here is probably a pretty good example of a confession. So it's just, they've already eaten, and now Jesus and Peter are walking, and Jesus is talking to Peter. Do you love me? 3 days later, he didn't even know him. He just denied him. Do you know me? Do you love me? He says, of course I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? You think it's sinking into Peter now that he's being asked to reconcile the denial? Do you love me, Peter? Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs. He's been given his penance. And it's a penance of service. What a great example of a confession. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Peter denied him 3 times. So Jesus asked him a third time within 3 days of when Peter sinned. Peter, do you love me? And this time, Peter is frustrated. He says, Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs. That had to be a very impactful moment. Now, John, one of the sons of Zebedee, who was on the boat with Peter and his brother James and Didymus, and they're all on the boat fishing. John's writing this down now in the gospel. John ended up living, serving, and dying in the Greek-speaking area over in what we call today Turkey, when it was more of a Greek area. And John knew and understood Greek, and those languages had more vocabulary in some ways than ours does. If you go back and read the same scripture in the original Greek, and we still have that, you find that Jesus used three words for love. Because in the Greek, it's an older language. They have more words, more vocabulary for the word love. So that, I'll give you three words. One is eros. We've made erotic out of that. It really is just a it pleases me love. The second word is philios. The Greek word philios, we have the word Philadelphia. It means brotherly. It's the kind of love you would have in a relationship that could be very strong. It could be best friends. It could be husband and wife. It could be a number of different love relationships where I philios you, you philios me. We're friends. We're close. We're special. And there's a third word, agape. A-G-A-P-E, we spell it. Agape. And agape is the highest form of love that the Greeks described. And this word was the word of a love that doesn't expect anything in the transaction. You just love. It doesn't matter if you get anything back. It doesn't matter if it gives you satisfaction or dissatisfaction. It's a one-way, unconditional relationship. Agape. Unconditional. So let's go back to the conversation. What's the vocabulary using? And this area they're in was a Greek-speaking mixed Aramaic, Hebrew. People tended to be familiar with both languages. So Jesus says to Peter, and John records it, Peter, do you agape me? Peter, curiously, responds, yes, Lord, I philios you. Think about it. Jesus' question to Peter was, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter's response was, like a brother. I philios you. I love you like a brother. That's not what Jesus asked. So the second time, Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter responds again, I love you like a brother. Jesus, I philios you. So the third time, Jesus asks in the text, in the original Greek, Peter, do you philios me? Now he's frustrated, Peter is. He says, of course you know. You ask me, he's frustrated now. He says, you know everything. You know everything there is to know. You know that I philios you. Now let's go back and understand what that conversation was all about. It was a confession. It was a confrontation. It was a prophecy of Peter's further service. But we also see a Peter who still had not yet learned all the lessons that the Lord had from him. Peter was not yet at the point in his spiritual maturity where he could say, yes, Lord, I agape you unconditionally. So Jesus meets Peter where he is. And the last time he responds to Peter, do you love me like a brother? Jesus takes that. He accepts that. Now we know that Peter continued maturing as he encountered more and more of his experience following Jesus. He could never do anything else now. He loved Jesus like a brother. He grew to love him unconditionally. And that's the lesson for us. Do we feel Jesus like a brother? Do we agape anybody? Is there anybody in our life we agape? And I think we see it all the time with mothers for their children, parents for their children, that they agape their children. That last part of the gospel is saying to Peter, eventually you will lose your fear. You will lose all fear. You will be completely unafraid. And you won't go where you want to go. You'll go where you're led. There's this wonderful little church in Rome called Quo Vadis. So the story goes that there was a major, probably one of the first persecutions of Christians recorded in Rome. And the persecution was meant to smash the Christian community. Nero was the emperor. And we know that Peter was eventually crucified upside down and died and had his head chopped off in the Nero Circus, which is where St. Peter's Basilica is today. And we know that when the persecution came, the Christians naturally hid. And Peter was walking down the Via Appia, probably no more than 4 or 5 miles now outside the walls of the city of Rome. And tradition has it that he encountered the Lord on the road, and the Latin has preserved the conversation where Jesus says to Peter, "Quo vadis?" Where are you going? And Peter explained to him what was going on. Of course, the Lord knew. He said, "No, you need to go back into the city." And Peter turned around and walked back into the city to be the shepherd of the flock in a persecution. He came to agape, and he paid with his life. And we can see the origin of that spiritual maturity that happened at Quo Vadis Church at that place. There was no church there, of course, at the time, but the Christian community has preserved that place. Today you can go in that church. The Christian community never forgot that story, and they preserved it by building a church there, by remembering what had happened. It's out in the area near lots of catacombs off the Via Appia. And we can see the fulfillment where when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And the Christian community understood very well the connection with what John was teaching them, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." That wasn't philios. That wasn't brotherly love. That was agape. Thank you.